How to Keep America from Defaulting.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace Podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Senate today is now working on its Wednesday plan after its Tuesday plan got nowhere in the House. And the credit ratings agency Fitch warned it could downgrade United States debt. Stock markets around the world and on Wall Street reacted fairly calmly this morning. The question is why? Speaking from Connecticut, Drew Mattis is senior U.S. economist at UBS Securities. Morning, Drew.
Good morning.
So futures are pointing to stocks moving higher on Wall Street this morning. No panic about the House and Senate going around in circles on the budget and the debt ceiling. I wonder why. Something to do with cash rattling around U.S. Treasury's pocket?
So the U.S. Treasury is currently sitting on $35 billion in cash. So although they've run out of room to borrow more debt, they still have a lot of money left that they can use. It's a bit like having cash in your wallet but having maxed out your credit card.
But this can't go on forever.
It can't go on forever, and it gets more and more complex, but it can go on to the end of the month easily. At the end of the month, you have to ask yourself whether or not you have enough money to pay Social Security. And the answer right now is we don't have enough cash on hand to make those payments. We have enough cash on hand, however, to make interest payments on all the Treasury debt. But once again, these things become increasingly complex. And when they become increasingly complex, there's a chance that a mistake will be made and that the U.S. will find itself in technical default by accident.
So when then are you worried that your blood pressure is going to start going up? Maybe around the time we're trick-or-treating?
You know, the pressure might actually start building this week because I think a lot of market participants have heard this October 17th date repeated so many times. That's when they're looking for a resolution. And if they don't get one by then they're going to start getting more nervous.
All right. Drew Mattis, senior U.S. economist at UBS Securities, thank you for this.
Thank you.
Bank of America stock was up sharply in early trading after the company announced better-than-expected profits. Twitter is preparing for its initial public offering, but today reported a bigger loss in its third quarter. It's now chosen not the NASDAQ market, but the New York Stock Exchange for its new stock once that happens. And the biggest toy company in the world, Mattel, reported better-than-expected third-quarter profits today, and its stock went up sharply in early trading. It's been doing okay in a market that's generally been quite flat, Shannon Mullen reports.
Toy sales overall this year could have been better, analysts say. About $700 million better. Chris Byrne with TimeToPlayMag.com says, for one thing, it's not a great year for toys based on kids' movies.
And the second reason is that it was a terrible spring-summer season, and a lot of merchandise didn't sell.
But Mattel's business is growing, both in the U.S. and abroad, thanks to core brands like Barbie and Fisher-Price.
And they probably have one of the strongest lineups of great licensed brands, like Sofia the First and Disney Princesses.
Lori Schacht is co-publisher of The Toy Insider. She says with facial tracking technology that turns an iPad into a Barbie makeover mirror, Mattel is also one of the few companies that have finally figured out how to make higher tech toys.
It was kind of like, all right, they just weren't great. And now they're getting fabulous.
And just in time for the holidays. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
It has been a clumsy start for the new health insurance exchanges. Since going live 2 weeks ago, the exchanges have been plagued by software and technical problems, some of it glitches, but some more serious matters of design. Meantime, officials are under heavy pressure to identify the some 50 million Americans who are eligible. As part of our ongoing coverage of the impact of the Affordable Care Act on one city, Camden, New Jersey, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein visits a group that's doing data mining to make this job easier.
Last month, just before the health exchanges opened, reality kicked in for Elizabeth Buck.
We have a huge number of uninsured in Camden, about 15,000, and we have this short window of time, so...
So, Buck, who is overseeing ACA enrollment for the nonprofit Camden Coalition of Healthcare Providers, poked her head into Aaron Truchel's office.
People usually come in and laugh, and that's generally how I know that they want something from me.
Buck wanted Truchel, the coalition's data whiz, to convert the hospital data the coalition has collected for a decade into something she could use to find Camden's uninsured, nearly 20% of the city's population. 24 hours later, poof, a color-coded map broken down by neighborhood, deep red for high concentrations of the uninsured.
The city's 9 square miles, it's not huge, but it's definitely too big for a few people that are out in the streets trying to go out and knock on doors.
Trutchell's creation brings a little science to the art of getting people to sign up for Obamacare. The coalition is one of the few groups in the country to gather real-time data from its hospitals.
Whenever an uninsured patient goes to the hospital and emergency room, there is a bill generated for that. That's a giant list of everyone who's uninsured.
Jeff Brenner, the coalition's executive director, says those bills could be the key to getting people insured. But translating that data into something usable right now is a pain.
It's like building a house with a handsaw and a hammer. We need to move to power tools.
Brenner hopes one of the power tools is Blue Labs, a firm formed by a group of crack data crunchers from Obama's 2012 campaign. Blue Labs' Eric Diskin says he wants to get more up-to-the-minute maps into the coalition's hands.
Really, what we're looking to do is to shorten that cycle so that the hospital can automatically send data to Camden.
The more souped-up process may not kick in until next fall. Until then, the coalition will rely on 2012 data because even last year's maps are better than no maps. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Parents and teachers, with this unfolding debt mess, I know you're saying, what do we tell the children? You can start by helping them appreciate the difference between Treasury bills, Treasury notes, and Treasury bonds. My colleague Jonathan Karp loves this stuff and has a handy guide at marketplace.org. And there's an extra credit bit about the definition of Treasury inflation-protected securities. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.